We'll talk about Michigan's win over Washington, 2-0, one of the best rushing teams in America. I just told you the fastest running back or wide receiver, offensive player scoring a touchdown last weekend in college football, week two, was Blake Corum on that run against the Huskies. Jim Brandstatter is standing by in the Meyer guest line. Welcome back, Jimmy.
Great to be with you, Huge. How are you?
Doing good. Take me there into the press box with you and Dan and your crew. What was it like as, you know, night falls, you get the maze out, you get that big flag drape in the field, and also, I know you shared it, I think, on your Twitter or Facebook account, and I did the same thing, the Michigan Marching Band and that halftime tribute on the 20th anniversary of 9/11 was phenomenal.
Unbelievable. I'm telling you, Bill, I've been to a lot of games at that stadium. I'll never forget when we came back after 9/11 and we canceled that weekend's game. It came back and we played Western Michigan, and everyone was just emotional and prepared for that game in a different kind of way. And I got the same feeling this past weekend. The pregame show was unbelievable. The flyover was great. The Amazing Grace on the bagpipes with the pictures of those who lost their lives in the Twin Tower disaster who were Michigan graduates coming across the scoreboard. It was so moving and so touching and yet so reverent. College football and the pageantry and all of this stuff and these universities and the athletic departments who put these things together, they just did a fabulous job. And Michigan was, in my opinion, right at the top of it. I couldn't agree with you more. The atmosphere and the environment of that game, given the, you know, the anniversary, the commemorative date, it was just phenomenal.
You know, away from the 20th anniversary, just more night games. I mean, you look at Harbaugh, two of his best games, if I'm not wrong, would be the ND night game and that Washington game, at least the way the defense and inspired play emotion. And I know TV, you don't make the call on primetime games, but, and I know Michigan with people traveling from all across the state, they don't want people getting home at 3-4 in the morning, but night games with that crowd, that's a huge home field advantage for Michigan.
I don't disagree. I really don't. And it's a double-edged sword, I think, too, Bill. Because there are a lot of people that come in from wherever you guys are, Grand Rapids. You know, they leave at the end of the game, and with traffic being tough, you're on 96, and it's, you know, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning before you get home. And that's tough for anybody. That's a long day. But it's great for television, and let's face it, we all know that television is the tail that wags the dog, and primetime games are great for the program, too. They give you a big, huge audience and an opportunity to show your stadium, your program, your fans to a lot of people out there. And, boy, I think Michigan got a big benefit from that game against Washington. It was an unbelievable night.
Beyond the home field advantage and the pageantry and the rightful salutes. One thing we talked about over the summer and before game one, we didn't know about that offensive line or defensive line. And man, I know it's Western, but Washington is a Pac-12 team and they were ranked before the season. But the line play on both sides of the ball has been awesome for Michigan two games in.
I don't think there's any question that that's been, in my opinion, the story of the season. I mean, Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins have been great, and Cade McNamara's doing a great job, don't get me wrong, but you're right on, I think. That offensive line play, the defensive line play, their ability to stop the run, nobody gains yardage on the ground, I mean, at least in the first two games. They'll get tested down the road, I'm sure, but the first two games are great. And I think, too, a great thing to think about is the fact that this offensive line, those guys, while they don't have a lot of starts, have experience because they all played some last year. Even the backups, and it's pretty deep. But Sherrone Moore moving over from tight ends coach to offensive line coach, and I think getting them more athletic, moving them around a little bit, getting very physical has been a huge asset and improvement from a year ago in the offensive line. And you're right. That, to me, that's the story. I mean, that's been the dominant feature of this team over the first two games.
Jimmy, the only thing missing that, you know, I'm unsure of right now will be the passing game and the ability for those Lions, when they get to the better defensive units on their schedule, which would be, you know, at Wisconsin, Penn State, Ohio State's not playing any defense. Their offense still can score 50 on anybody. Rutgers actually has played well defensively, but they haven't played anybody first couple of games. I don't see that juggernaut. It might be Penn State. We'll see against athletes from Auburn this weekend. But at least a couple of games in, I don't see a defensive unit where you say, oh, my Lord, we're going to struggle against those 11 guys.
No, I agree. And the one thing I will say is that if you are looking around for that defensive unit, it's Michigan. I mean, they're the guys that have been probably defensively as impressive as anybody out there. Iowa probably, too. Iowa's turned a lot of people over. And they got a big win over Iowa State. So if you're looking for two teams in the Big Ten anyway that look like they're on top in defense, you might go Penn State. We'll get more on them this week.
Iowa.
But Iowa and Michigan.
Right. And you look at Michigan, they don't get Iowa in the regular season. They wouldn't see them until the Big Ten title game if they got that far.
Right. And so, I mean, again, it's early. And that's why it's great. Competition's going to pick up. You're going to have bigger tests going forward. And I agree with you. The passing game for Michigan, they're going to have to, down the road, throw the ball. But I think the reaction of everybody saying, oh, my God, they don't throw it anymore after you just get done blasting Washington on the ground, I think that's a little overreaction. Because don't forget, a week before that, you know, Cade was 9 of 11 for whatever and a bunch of touchdowns, and J.J. McCarthy threw a bomb. They made big plays through the passing game. So it's there. It's just I don't think they needed it. And that drive in the second half to open up the third quarter, to me, that was the whole game. When you go 73 yards and you go eight plays all on the ground, all between the tackles, and you make a 10-point game, a 17-point game, you just made a statement and told the guys across from you, it ain't happening tonight, guys. And I thought that was huge.
Northern Illinois this weekend, do you think they'll work on their passing game? I kind of watched Michigan State had Kenneth Walker go for almost 300 in their opening win in Evanston against Northwestern. Then they played Youngstown State, and they worked on their vertical passing game. What do you expect from the Michigan offense against Northern Illinois this Saturday at the Big House?
Well, I expect them to be balanced if they can be. I mean, I expect them to run some run action, play action type looks from a run thing, but they're not going to go away from the running game. Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins, I think, are the engine of this offense based on what I've seen early. You get those two guys going, and now all of a sudden you got to load up that box, bring safeties down. Then you run the run action stuff. And I think that they'll be more balanced. I think you'll see more passing plays. And I think the tight ends, too, might get more involved. I think they've done such a great job of blocking that I think that you're going to see the tight ends get involved in the pass game. Eric All, Schoonmaker, those guys. So I think you'll see more balance. I think that's what they want to be. But again, it's when you're in the middle of it, you know this. When you're in the middle of a game, if something's working, you know, your mind changes. You said, until they stop it, let's keep doing it. I mean, you don't like to experiment, but I think you'll see more balance or try to be. But if something's working, they're going to stay with it, I believe.
Jimmy Brandstetter, voice of Michigan football, final season with him and Dan in the booth. He's joining us on the Meyer guest line here on the Huge Show across Michigan. You know, after Northern Illinois on Saturday and then Rutgers, which isn't the normal pushover with Schiano, they go on a run to close out the remaining schedule before Ohio State, where they'll be on the road at Wisconsin, at Nebraska, home against Northwestern, then at Michigan State, Indiana at home, at Penn State, at Maryland. It's not an easy schedule, and that's why you need the W's, obviously, against Northern Illinois and Rutgers the following week.
Yeah, exactly. And the back end of the schedule is the tough part this year for Michigan. And I'll tell you this. I mean, Rutgers, I think, is going to be a good test. Greg Schiano did a great job, and I think he's done a great job changing the culture in a very short period of time. And that's going to be a good test. Everybody in the Big Ten is going to be good. And in my opinion, Maryland is another one on the road there late, given where Michigan is, you know, with Ohio State looming, that's another one of those games. I mean, that's a tough finish for Michigan. If you're, I'll tell you what, if they win the East and they get to the Big Ten championship game, they will have earned it.
Amen. I agree. I'm just curious about the passing game. And will they be able to run? Will the lines be this good against the big boys on their schedule? And we're not going to know until you get to the games, and those games will be called by Jim Brandstatter, Dan Dierdorf, Jansen and Karsh and the crew on the Wolverine Football Network, I think, in the Grand Rapids area, our sister station to our new flagship 96.1 The Game. You can listen to Michigan football all season long on AM 1300 Wood Radio and also 106.9 FM. Wood Radio's
FM. 1300 AM and 106.9. You got it.
You got you know that. And I'm dropping it right now because I moved to a new flagship. So me and you can talk like that now, Jimmy.
I know. I'm glad of that. I got all those things during the games. Last couple of weeks during the games, I want to mention three or four stations, you know, that are on the network.
Right.
And I get so hung up doing other things and the game is going on that I sometimes forget. I got to get back to it this week.
You do. You need to do that.
You'll hear three radio stations from around the network this week during the game.
You need to drop. You go, you're listening to Michigan football on 106.9 FM and AM 1300 Wood Radio.
Have them send me. I think I did one of those. I think have them send me one.
They said your voice sounded a little high. Like you had a high-pitched voice on that.
I did?
No, I'm just kidding.
That was when I was younger.
Yeah, that was back in the day where you just started.
I'm
glad you're not paranoid about a high-pitched voice. I'm glad we got past that on the show.
Right, I didn't get to my TV voice yet.
Your Michigan Replay. How many years have you done? Well, is it still called Michigan Replay?
Yeah, well, it's inside Michigan football.
Yeah, it's inside. It used to be Michigan Replay, right?
This is year 43,
Jim, man. I'll tell you what, buddy, and you've always been supportive of my show, but between Michigan Replay, Inside Michigan Football, and now the Lions broadcast you did in your final year here, you've had one of the great broadcasting careers in the state of Michigan and across America when it comes to college and the NFL. You have.
I appreciate that a lot. And I will tell you is that I am blessed. I am so lucky. And as that saying goes, if you have a job you love, you don't work a day in your life, I am guilty.
If you have a job you love, you don't work your day in a life. You know, actually, Jim's in a country band, and they play in Dexter, and that's their opening song.
No, this week we're up in Kalkaska.
That's right, Kalkaska. You're up there at the Moose Pub, or Elk
there
Pub,
you go.
Or whatever
the VFW, it's called. The VFW.
Yeah,
up
Elk
at
Night. They got elk burgers. They're really good. They taste like chicken. Yeah. Yeah, all right, we love you, Jimmy. We'll talk soon. Keep up the great work with Dan, okay?
Appreciate it. You take care. Have a good day.